Now, I'm trying to decide if we fake this, where I ask Miranda to ask me the question again, or do we just...
Incredibly inorganic, Bryce.
If we were recording 10 minutes ago, this would have been the greatest start ever of you asking how does the podcast start.
If only I had my shit together. One day I'll be a real adult, but not yet.
How are you not a real adult?
I just don't have my shit together, and I think that that's what it qualifies. That's what qualifies you as a real adult.
What of your shit is not together?
I'm literally never on time ever. I feel like that means your shit's not together.
Sure, but
based on many people I know, I think you're safe.
Everyone we make content with, I'm the only one who is on time, and I'm half an hour early.
Listen, I'm usually on time. It's just the last couple times.
Becker's is for sure anywhere between like 10 to an hour late.
I also want to be clear, Bryce, you don't have to put fucking makeup on or do your hair, so shut up.
Yeah.
You think I don't care about my looks? You think I don't like try and style myself before I come in here?
I am saying it's much easier for you.
And also, you don't have a dog that's farting in your room right now.
Well, I didn't sign up for Dogland. No.
Dogland.
Aaron thinks I've been hinting that I want a dog just because I've mentioned a dog sometimes.
Do you want a dog?
Not at the moment. I think a dog would be cool, but it'd have to be like it's a smaller dog, or at least a medium, definitely not a big dog. It's like having a kid, but a little bit where you can leave them alone and not be like, well, this is good. I'm going to get arrested. So you have to be like, is my house ready? Is the dog going to destroy everything around me?
I was
going to
say, the thing is, like, it's very much a luck of the draw whether or not your dog is going to eat your cables all the time. And since your house is 90% wired, I feel like that's a pretty big risk.
I mean, yeah.
You just have to hide them.
To be fair, we already want to, like, I need to redo my cables. And I have exposed, like, literally since, like, month two of living in my house, we opened up the walls to change out some wiring, and the walls have not been repaired. Some of the walls have been repaired, but not all the walls. So Aaron was like, okay, we're getting a dog, then I'd be like, okay, we need to do some stuff. In the same way that if Aaron said she was pregnant, it'd be like, okay, a lot of things are changing really fast.
We need to do some stuff.
I'm trying to intro the podcast right now.
Hold I know, on. I can see you thinking yeah. about it.
Hello,
just do
welcome
it.
To this conversation podcast that we do no, every once in a while.
No, you don't know how this
My name's
goes.
Darian, and I'm taking over this podcast.
You've never once made a
Darian's
podcast.
Darian's the boss now.
Do you say I've never once made a podcast?
Yes.
How do you know?
Because I'm me. What?
You're right, I've never made a podcast except for like the one I made with you, but... I didn't really make that. I just participated.
I mean, to be fair, I was.
I don't think that counts.
Joking because you have made several podcasts with me, so I'm saying that. The
but
thing
is it
I
the
said,
same? Is it? Am I actually making the podcast? I feel like I'm just contributing. I don't think I'm making it.
If
you know
you're
what
not
I mean?
Hosting, yeah.
I don't. Yeah, I don't host it. I don't edit it. I don't post it. I don't do any of the real work. I just show up and send you the recording.
As we have seen from you canceling yesterday, if you were not here, the podcast would not happen.
Oh,
so,
thank you. I really needed to hear that.
No. You were making the podcast.
You're very valued, Darian.
Also, I'm sorry for canceling yesterday. Some really crazy scheduling shit happened with my D&D group, and I forgot that we had a podcast on Saterday until you said something about it. I was like,
not wait, have a Google
up.
Calendar.
I've I made don't, a Google. First off, don't use Google products other than Gmail. I don't trust Google anymore. Second off, I don't use calendars. I can't use a planner. I can't use it. I can't do it. I'm not good at it. I don't keep up with it. And then when I open it, it gives me a panic attack. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to wing it. And I'm going to look and make sure that the dates aren't past the due dates for my assignments and call it good. That's all I got, man.
Okay, but if Bryce makes the Google Calendar and you just sync it to your phone, he can set up all the reminders.
That's fine. I don't accept reminders on my phone either because I have too many fucking apps on my phone. And it's at a point where I can't go into each individual app and adjust the notification settings because I would be sitting there for 6+ hours to try to edit it. So I've got a really fucked up brain and I'm just like, yep, that's a notification and I'm going to ignore it. I can't tell you how many times I've missed phone calls, text messages, emails because I just cannot deal with it. Okay. Technology Darren, is driving me insane.
I think we should get you a flip phone and take it back. Let's take it back.
Oh my God. Oh, I would love a flip phone. Can I have an Envy? It needs to be a picture phone with a keyboard on it. That was like the height of phone. Actually, maybe not an Envy. There was another kind of phone that I had that was like a slide up and it was like the screen had its own
keyboard thing.
Those were 10 out of 10.
What do you mean by a picture phone?
It has to be able to take pictures.
I would like you can buy flip phones today. I think they still will give you the ability to take a picture. I don't think they're
okay, but how good is it gonna be?
They probably put a newer camera on it. They're not gonna make you take a really bad. There would be a level that I would like it to be a really shitty camera just to really just do the aesthetic, but I imagine they'd put a modern camera lens on it. But who knows? I mean, I know they make them.
I have mental health issues and I need to get into therapy. That's really what this is boiling down to. But I'm not going to start therapy here because I'm moving soon. I'm not doing that.
Online therapy.
It's not the same. I don't hold myself accountable with online therapy. I've tried it. It doesn't work.
I feel like you have to be in the room for it to be effective, to me personally.
Speaking of therapy, welcome to Why Are We Doing This? A conversational podcast where a bunch of cool kids talk about things. I'm Bryce, and I'm joined by the amazing and apparently needs therapy, Darian.
That's me. I need therapy. Hi. Therapy's good for everybody. I highly recommend it.
And she's got ADHD, and you're seeing her in HD. It's Miranda.
And she's quitting therapy. Hey, yo.
Hey, that's a part of the therapy journey, too.
It is. It is. I just switched to a new therapist, and she uses, like, she, like, was telling me about, like, the science she bases her stuff on, and I looked it up afterwards, and everyone online was like, this shit fucking sucks. So I was like, I will not be going to her anymore.
I feel like therapists are such a gamble.
It's a hit-and-miss thing for real, for real. It sucks because, like, when you have to go to therapy, you really don't fucking want to for a lot of people, right? So when you go and then you get a therapist who sucks, you're like, well, this proved my point and I'll never go again. And you're like, people who have gone to therapy and it's been successful, you're like, fuck no, you just have to find a new one.
Damn
it. It's already too much work in the first place, so then you just never go again. But I've been in therapy for, like, 7 years, so I think it's fine if I stop now.
Are you quitting forever or just for now?
Maybe forever. Like, I was just going to help with my ADHD.
Oh, sure. Like,
I did,
taking care of everyone.
Well, no, I'm on Vyvanse now, and it's helpful, okay?
Nice.
It is taken care of.
Just gotta stick in long enough till they throw some pills at you.
I mean, I've been taking pills for, like, 8-9 years, but I just started taking ADHD pills, and they put me on Adderall, and it made me sick to my tummy all the time and also did nothing.
No.
So I switched to Vyvanse, and now I feel awesome, except now I'm sweaty all the time, and I hate that.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
I'll do it. I've never personally been prescribed Vyvanse, but everybody that I've heard who's gotten to take it, it's like a game changer. And I'm just like, well, that's how Adderall was for me, actually. So, like, I'll be okay until the Adderall doesn't work anymore. And then I'll be like, hey, have you heard of Vyvanse? That's the good one.
I don't know if we should be recommending, like,
if
pharmaceuticals
you have ADHD,
to one.
I'm not recommending that. I'm diagnosed. I've got the prescription. It's got my name on it. Like, it's legal. It's legal.
Doctor, I didn't find out via TikTok, which there's not necessarily anything wrong with
that. Via TikTok, but I did get help with the diagnosis aspect of it first.
Sure, but there's a level of like, oh, I'm on Adderall, but I hear the really good stuff is Vyvanse. Is what we would the
in the community. with other ADHDers.
This is like me being like, no, you don't want these smart bulbs. Get the Hue smart bulbs, but with drugs.
It's the same.
I really believed you yesterday, by the way, when you were like, do you think Miranda will use my affiliate code? I was like, oh, it would make sense if Bryce had a Hue affiliate code.
I mean, there probably is some program, but usually it's like people have to care about what you have to say for you to bother with an affiliate code, and no one cares.
I mean, that's true, but I was like, I don't know, maybe he was aware of his entire house being smart, and they've chipped in.
Maybe one day I'll get into the smart home influencer racket, because I could certainly, but I got enough. I got enough content I'm trying to make. Speaking of which, the reason that this podcast is a thing that I wanted to make was my grandmother passed last summer, and I went to her funeral down south. It was like she was living with my uncle, like the side of the family that I have no contact with. She and my grandpa were like living essentially at our house. It was like there was a building that was attached to where we lived. So they were like not technically in the same space, but might as well have been. So I basically had grown up with my grandma and grandpa. But then when they got older, they moved down to Oklahoma and lived with near my uncle and stuff. And my grandmother passed, and I went to the funeral, and it is clearly something that my uncle was fully in charge of running and stuff, because they had the like viewing or whatever, where this is like the first funeral I have been to. I think I went to a funeral when I was like really young, but and I don't really remember, other than like I remember kind of being in a church, but like this is the first like family member that I've lost, and no one I've like been close to has passed. So this is like the first like funeral I've been to. So I was just basically, they're like, go here for this, and I'm like, okay, and they're like, here's the viewing and stuff, and then they're like, okay, then the next day is the funeral, and we go to the funeral, and the priest basically, like, there was a little thing that had been written by someone, I'm not sure where they talked a little bit about my grandmother's life, and then he basically would sit there and do like talk like for 10 minutes about Jesus and how my grandmother's hanging out with Jesus now, and then like read a little bit from this thing that had been written by someone, but I don't know if it's from my uncle who had talked to like apparently my grandmother had like a family, like had like six siblings, which I had never seen any of them. I didn't know any Like, it was just my grandma and grandpa, and then my parents, and then my aunt I was aware of a little bit because they lived the next state over. But, like, the sibling, they're, like her younger brother was there, and I'm like, I did not know this guy existed, or that there was other family members involved. I think they were all, like, down south. Maybe that's why they went to go live down there. Basically, the whole focus was on basically she's in heaven now. She's hanging out with Jesus. And if you're good and believe in Jesus, you'll go to hang out with Jesus, too. And very little about my grandmother's life. And,
oh, I hate that.
Oh, 1,000%. That, like, coming out of that, I was just like, if I die and they, like, barely talk about me, like, honestly, my experience with funerals was all like TV based, of like people coming up and being like, oh, you know, this person meant a lot and all this stuff. I was like preparing in my head. I was expecting them to go up and be like, if anyone wants to say anything, you're welcome to come up. And I was like preparing in my head what I would say about her, about like how when I was younger, she made scrambled eggs with little pieces of bacon in it and stuff. And it's something that my girlfriend has learned how to make for me. And it's like this special thing for my grandma did is something that's still like being carried on. And how when I was really young, my mom or my grandma read me the monster at the end of the book, Sesame Street book. Mm-hmm. And that book has been really like, I love that book. I have art of it hanging up in my living room. That it is a thing of like, I was just thinking about all, you know, she had moved away and stuff. And it wasn't like she was like my parent, but she had been, you know, there through, you know, my whole childhood. That there was a level of like, it was almost like a second parents to me. And so I was thinking of all these things to talk about how like the legacy she has left. And they didn't ask. They just were like, anyway, Jesus, 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 here's some songs. They played some weird country music. And then they were like, okay, let's go.
Great. Good funeral.
And then we went out to the graveyard and stuff. And I was like, well, maybe out here they're going to ask to stuff. And nope, they just put her in the ground and were like, okay, have a good drive safe. So that I came away from that being very confused and kind of upset. And I kind of like two things that made from that experience made me want to start this podcast. One, I wanted to be able to talk about that experience and how my grandmother I don't think was really spotlighted enough in her own funeral. That the people down south are obviously much more religious. And it's the thing of like, there seems to be a belief that she was maybe super religious. Growing up, I maybe went to church twice.
Mm.
That it was like, if she was religious, she was not during the time that she lived near us. It might be the deal like when she went down south, all of them went to church and she would come with. But even there was a thing in the thing that had been written that was like, she had tried several different churches. And that sounds like a thing of like, she wasn't really going. She was. Yeah, she
wasn't super into it.
Yeah. Like. So I don't know. It very much like this. This is not the picture of a person who I grew up with. And then another thing about it that made me want to start the podcast was me thinking, well, what is going to happen when I go? Of like, what would my funeral look like, and what? How will people remember me? And so I was just kind of thinking, I guess before I kind of get into that, have you guys ever thought about like your funeral or dying or like what, how you're going to be remembered at all?
Not how I'm going to be remembered, but I think like fairly often, right? Like most of my closest relationships are with people I met online. Right. So like they're my friends. I go and visit them every year. Like I talk to them every single day. But it's not like my like family knows these people. Right. So if like me and say my roommate, I don't know, died in a car crash or something. Right. I wonder all the time, like, who's going to tell those people? Who's going to tell those people? Like, I disappeared off the face of the earth. What the fuck are they going to, how are they going to know? Right. I think about that often. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it would be the thing of, if Aaron and I died at the same time, that would be a similar thing of like, you guys would probably just be like, Bryce has not talked in the Discord in a very long time. That is weird.
Yeah, it would just be like the only way to know would be by like your absence, which is a bizarre way to like have to find that out, right? Because like no one's going on my fucking Blue Sky account and being like, oh, sorry to tell everyone Miranda passed away. My mom doesn't know what a Blue Sky is, like, or a Discord for that matter.
Yeah. Maybe a Facebook post would go out, but even that's like depending on who's in charge, maybe if my brother was handling things, but it's definitely an awkward deal of like, my funeral would probably be attended by a bunch of people that I know from the internet and getting the word out there and like maybe a couple relatives.
Yeah.
So that's definitely, I'm somewhat curious if the like wanting to have a legacy is something that's more male, as not to be like super sexist.
I do think it sort of is. I think it's a bit of like an ego thing that is just a bit more masculine than it is feminine.
Yeah. Not to be like traditional gender roles a bunch, but there is a level of like the woman would be more about like raising the children, and that is the thing that they're kind of considered about. Whereas the guy is like, well, I got to carry on the like my last name, and people need to like, when they see this last name, they need to think, oh man, he was a great musician, or like that kind of thing.
The best damn YouTuber.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine that the Markiplier or something is probably going to be remembered like very well in that regard down the line.
Yeah, YouTube Jesus. Absolutely.
Sure.
I hope he's the guy that I meet in the afterlife, actually.
What is there, do you believe in the religion where you get to hang out with one other person in the afterlife and that's it?
No, it's much more complex than that. I do not believe in the concept of heaven and hell, but I do firmly believe that there is an afterlife, but it goes beyond that as well.
Okay, where it's just you and another person hanging out and as
not exclusively. But like when I first pass over, I want Markiplier to be the one that's like, hey, Darian, you did great. You ready to move on to the next part? Like, yeah, Markiplier, I am. Oh, my God. It's so cool to meet you. Holy shit.
He's like in the like heaven metaphor. He's your who's the fucking guy who's at the pearly gates?
I want to say Michael, but
it's like, I want to say it's like St. Paul or some shit. I don't know. I'm not religious enough to answer the question, but
like, the guy at the pearly gates
checking the list is Markiplier.
We're just going to alienate all the Christians, episode zero.
I'm not anti-religious.
Yeah,
I'm just
it's
stupid.
St. Peter, yeah.
St. Peter, there we go. I knew it was a saint and it started with P. Like,
I'm also not Markiplier. A religious person. For me, yeah, Markiplier is my St. Peter, I guess, if we're going for Christian. I've never been one of those.
You want Markiplier to, like, judge your life and be like...
That's
yeah,
not
Darian.
How it works.
I mean, that's what I believe St. Peter decides who gets in and out.
In the analogy, Markiplier would be the St. Peter, but in my belief system, that is not what happens.
What does Markiplier do when you
brings me to home school? I don't want to unload all of my spiritual beliefs on the first episode of this podcast. We can talk about that later if you really want me to get into it.
Episode 10, we learn about Darian's religion. We got that in the bank, guys. You need to stick with the podcast so you can learn about the lore.
There's some pretty interesting lore that I believe in.
There's the supernatural option, right? Which is like everybody has their own individual heavens or some shit.
That sounds terrifying.
Like, supernatural,
you're talking
the TV
about the show Supernatural,
yes,
not
the TV show.
Because I was just like, wouldn't it just be the supernatural as in ghosts? But no, you're talking very much the property.
The property, the CW show. But in that one, I don't understand how that one works, right? Because like if everybody has their own individual heaven and in their individual heaven, they want to be with like X person. Like what if multiple people want to be with like Cher, right? Are there multiple fake Chers in your individual heaven?
Does Cher want to be with them?
Right.
You're just going to take Cher's afterlife like that?
But wait, no, what if you're like a kid and you're like, meeting. I want to be with my parents, but your parents are divorced and they hate each other. Like, do they have to be like in your individual heaven with you?
In heaven, they don't hate each other. Oh, God.
It's very confusing.
There's actually a case of hell. Like, oh, they could take a little like part. It's basically... I mean, your soul is infinite or whatever. It can be everywhere. But I mean, that's
like horrifying in its own unique way, though.
Yeah, but yeah, it's like you just get a, like an invite in heaven that's just like, would you like to go to Timmy's house? And then you could be like, yes, no, or send a part of me there or something.
Send clone, like.
Well, there. I think there's, if you say no, but Timmy wants you there, they get a fake you.
Oh, okay.
But
well, that's fucked
up. But you won't.
So
Timmy
then
won't
your
know.
Heaven's not even real. It's not even what you want in that theory, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, CW writers, I need you to explain.
Well, I think the version you're talking about is the same one that Greg Miller wants to exist. So watch. Listen to Greg Miller's version of what heaven's like, because I believe he basically is like, yeah, man, I should get my own heaven and then I can hang out with people. How it'd work for other people, I don't know. I think heaven would just be like, we're so conditioned to this reality that heaven is just like this, but where you have where you have infinite resources.
Right.
Where it's just like you don't want for anything. Of like, you want to go visit Timmy? Well, you go to his house, and there's just the one of you. If Cher wants to hang out with you, then you ask Cher to hang out with you. And if Cher doesn't want to hang out with you, then it's like,
well, Cher's never gonna die because she's an immortal lich queen. But you know, if she did, I'd want her in my heaven.
Do you believe in life after love?
Cher concert every night.
Cher's the headliner again? Yes!
Yes!
I love this place.
I would talk, we could get a whole thing about, we'll save what, even though we fully got into heaven, going into afterlife discussion should be
a
different.
I'm so sorry I derailed your entire.
I think it was probably, it's already a little weird because I do think that wanting the legacy and wanting to be remembered is a thing that maybe most women don't have.
I don't know if it's like, it's probably a little gender, but I also feel like it's about your ambitions in general. Like, I'm sure women who have like really strong ambitions who want to change the world and shit want to be remembered, right? But like,
Hillary
my ambitions
Clinton probably
in life
cares.
Are to be happy and chill. So,
yeah.
Like, if I have a successful D&D podcast called Baldur's Gate Baddies, that'd be fucking sick. But like,
oh, see, it's Miranda's podcast, whereas Darian wasn't sure if she made a podcast earlier.
Listen, I'm a vital component of Baldur's Gate Baddies. I know that.
I feel like egos. Like Darian's at the bottom, Miranda's in the middle, and I'm way at the top.
Just so much higher.
I'm not sure exactly where it comes from. I mean, there's a lot of places it could come from. Basically, the fact that I did not have friends growing up, and there is a level of like, well, at least that I can make, you know, if I'm better and cooler, and I'll show them, and they'll, you know, wish that they were as cool as me. And so being able to have that tangible, like, oh yeah, well, when I'm dead, I'm gonna have 10 cool points and you guys will have zero.
But now you have the whole girl squad, Bryce. Now you have more friends than you could ever imagine.
Oh my god.
And they're all beautiful women.
There's like four of you.
Me, Miranda, Beckers, Jazz. Oh, there is like, no, that's four, yeah. Aaron doesn't count, I guess. In terms of like post-death, that's not really something I think about a whole lot, actually. I'm not concerned with what is going to be remembered of me. But if I'm really going to start thinking about it, like, I'm not so much concerned about like the name that I'm going to leave behind so much as like the comfort that I will have left behind. Like, my goal is to try to always be like a safe space for people, be someone that people can rely on and things like that. And so when I die, I don't so much want it to be like, man, like, I really want to like enjoy what that person did, or I want to go look at like what she made or anything like that. Like, I want them to be like, I remember the lessons that I learned with her, and I want that to be what is left behind of me.
Yeah.
I think there is a level of like, yeah, you want to leave the world better off than you came into it. And I think what I think about. And I think it is a thing that, like, I want that to be as great as possible. That there's level of, like, how there, I mean, there's gosh, I don't even know if I should really, the movie Book of Love talks about, you know, the characters have the kind of Mexican death belief, and basically they go to their version of hell is basically this place where you go when you're not remembered, where everyone who remembered you is also passed. And so basically, like, to be in the good place, someone needs to be around to remember you. And basically, if you were, like, a really famous musician, you're going to be able to coast on. You're going to hang out in heaven for quite a while because they're going to remember you for that. Whereas with yours, I think is both going to be, like, more personal of, like, the people who you affected will like, very personally remember you. But then when those people are gone, then it'll be like you never existed.
Does that concept stress you out?
I think that's the thing, now that I think about it, is that I am an atheist. I don't believe in a heaven. I don't believe. So the only thing that I have of, like, why did I exist is that when I'm gone, there'll be a piece of me left in the world. Something to say that I was here. And I definitely, I hear that, like, I was here. Just, I hate to be so gendered with it, but it's just like, I don't know if it, I maybe Beckers would agree with me on this.
She might be the one who's with you on that.
Sadly, she was not available right now. So I'm describing carrying on my legacy to a bunch of people who are like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, like, so for me, it's like, when I was younger, I was kind of shitty. I was not in therapy, and I was kind of a dickbag because of it, right? So my end goal really is just, like, I would like to be remembered more positively than negatively. I would like to be remembered as someone who, like, didn't hurt people, who was, like, a good friend and, like, reliable and steady. But I mean, like, I'm also an atheist. I think when you die, it ends. Like, the screen turns off, right? Like, but so it doesn't matter to me how I'm remembered, right? But I also think that's, like, why a lot of people have kids, right? Is they want proof that they existed. I don't care. My existence is not important in the grand scheme. The sky is so big, you know.
I think the thing that, I mean, my grandma's funeral really got that I cared about in particular was the fact of, like, when I am gone, like, that moment, am I going to be remembered accurately? Of, like,
yeah,
is the person telling my story going to have the right picture? If it's my parents, oh god, no, that's going to be a shit show.
I think about that often, in that, like, you never know what how other people see you, right? Like, you're the way you look in another person's mind is a complete fucking mystery to you. So I do wonder, you know, like, when I'm gone, what will be remembered? What type of person do people think I was? Like, I think about this with my coworkers a lot, because I do not hang out with my coworkers. We are not friends. We do not chit chat. So I'm just a person who kind of floats in and out of their lives. I'm like, I could be anybody to these people. They could have a completely warped idea of my entire personality, and I'll just never know.
Yeah, so hopefully it's Aaron who would be being able to organize things. I did ask Aaron about if I die, who's writing my what's the thing that people
eulogy
write? Obituary. Yes. Beckers is apparently gonna have to write my obituary.
Dude, Beckers would write such a good obituary.
Yeah, we would
trust
obituary.
Beckers to write your obituary.
Her obituary for her grandma, didn't she write that?
She did.
I believe so. Yeah. It is funny for Beckers to write my obituary, because if I'm alive And especially if, like, I'm asking, she's gonna probably say something mean about me. Like, tell me about Bryce. They'll be like, oh, he's a dork.
That like, guy, he smells like farts.
For my birthday video, the big compliment she gave was, you're the best person I've played Overcooked with.
And that was before she played with Miranda.
Yeah, and I've lost that. I've lost... Like we've made 68 episodes of a comedy podcast. We've like performed at big cons. We've done bunches of D&D together. We've gone on several trips and stuff, and like we've done all this stuff, and at like. Aaron's like, okay, talk about what I don't know what she said to ask you guys to say to her say in the video, but I'm guessing it's like say nice things about Bryce.
And I don't even think she was that specific with it. She just said record a message for Bryce's birthday. Okay.
And she was just
also
like,
here's your letter.
Yeah.
She's like, you're a good friend. And you're good at Overcooked was what I got out of the But I do think if she was like in charge of my obituary, she probably would say some nice things. Sadly,
yeah, Becker's is kind, even if she's very competitive.
But I will say that like thinking about that, about how will I be remembered? Of like, will the picture painted at my funeral be accurate? I was just like. Well, fucking, I make content. I would hope that almost my funeral is a clip show.
That'd be incredible.
You want to see what Bryce was like? Here's his vlogs. Here's stuff from Extra Life. Here is a picture of Bryce because he has shown you who he is. And the content you have of who Bryce is he plays D&D. He can make up fake video game ideas, and he's travels sometimes, and I was like, but what about all the other shit that makes up who I am? And that's what this podcast is me and you guys and maybe some guests down the line just talking about our lives and what's going on and like the afterlife or putting on makeup or whatever, and then if down the line, honestly, if we get Alzheimer's or whatever and we're like, what was I like, it'd be like, here you go, this is what Miranda was like, this is what Bryce was like, and at the very least, like I will know, as long as if this podcast exists, that people trying to remember who Bryce was will be able to look at this and go, this is Bryce. This is what he thought about certain things. And at least I know the picture of me will be accurate at my funeral. So that has been episode 0 of Why Are We Doing This? Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. You can find me on most of the places at Last Geek.
You can find me everywhere as a Jaeger X7. That's JAEGERX7.
You can really only find me on Blue Sky right now at Soft Blue Rich, I think. We might have to, I don't know. I'll have a real one next time just to be sure.
Thank you for listening. And remember, podcasting is cheaper than therapy. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.